Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
So very quickly, Matthew chapter 15 with verse 1, it says the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus. Now, Pharisees, religious leaders, scribes, they were very well acquainted with the laws, okay, kind of attorneys, if you will. They came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." And it's, you know, they're not asking this because the disciples were all five-year-old boys following Jesus and just didn't, you know, didn't matter. They had these traditions, these requirements. It wasn't just for the physical things that you and I say, I was out in the garage or I was digging in the dirt, I should wash my hands before I eat. This was a tradition. This was a law that they had written and had come up with, and it was about something that they tried to make as if it was spiritual and holy. And so they come to Jesus, and he answers them a little differently. He makes his way down to eventually talking about what they asked, but he said this, it was very interesting. He says, "And why do you break the commandment of God?" In other words, now get the difference here. They said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition?" Jesus comes back with, "Why do you break the commandment?" There's a difference between tradition and commandment. And so he says to them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition?" In other words, we elevate traditions, the way we have always done things, that which is customary, that which we have developed a mindset about, and they elevated those things over certain commandments from God. And so Jesus brings up what's more important, and he says, "For God commanded, honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles a father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father and his mother, 'What you have gained from me is given to God,' we need not honor his father. So for the sake of tradition, you have made void the word of God." He says, "You hypocrites." So let me just talk a little bit about what's going on here. So we know the commandments, honor your father and your mother. We know that it comes with a promise. It says, if you do so, you will live long life. But this whole commandment that God has about honoring your father and your mother, they had made very secondary over a tradition. So what could happen is a child could decide, and what Jesus is talking about, is a child does something, it was called Corban. It is where they make an obligation and a promise to God to give an amount, whatever it is, to God. And on the outside, it looks very spiritual. It looks like they're generous. And, of course, to the Pharisees and priests, they endorse this because the way that they gave to God is that it would, of course, go to the temple or the synagogue, and it would go to take care of the priests and all the, and in addition to needs that the temple would have over time. And so they endorse this, and Jesus says, "Wait a minute, they made a promise to God. And we all know that we like to fulfill our promises to God, and it looks right and it sounds good, but it was out of a decision or a sake of tradition." So what would happen is, as the child, the son or daughter, they would make Corban, a promise to God to set aside an amount, and then in turn they would say, "That which I gave to God, promised to give to him, now releases me because I don't have the resources to take care of my mother and father. You see, the retirement plan in the ancient world was predominantly like this. You as a family, you work, you have a business, you're a part of something, you labor, you build wealth, and when it comes time for parents to retire, the children from the family wealth that they all built together by working over time, then they would take care of their parents.
Come on.
I just wanted to pause there in case my children were listening. My mother was listening. Yeah. Oh, I don't think she has too much to complain about, but you never know. That was very funny, Mother. Oh, wait, I think someone called you. Could you step out of the room, please? So what would happen is, now we made this promise to God out of tradition, and it looks really good and it sounds good. Ooh, spiritual promise gave a lot to God. But now, in turn, they wouldn't take care of their parents because they took a measure of those resources, wealth, whatever they had, to do something that looked good in tradition, but it broke a commandment. And so they did what was convenient. Let's look spiritual. It costs us money. It's a good thing. People hear about it. The temple of God, the synagogue, and all the priests, they're going to be real happy about this. And God says, wait a minute. I appreciate the promise. But you are supposed to do what's right and don't break commandments for the sake of some promise and tradition that you have come up with, that you've committed to me. If you want to make Corbin and make a promise and give, do that after you have done and taken care of what is right. The question for you and I, are there things in our life that we come up with that sound pretty good? And they might even look spiritual. Certainly, they're convenient. I mean, hey, it's convenient to give money instead of have to go out of your way and do something for people continually day after day. Right? It's convenient. Even if it costs us money, instead of putting in the hours and the time and the lifestyle and all that's required of us. So this isn't just about honoring parents, though it's included. Jesus is saying, what in your life, what in my life, do we do out of tradition or saying, this is the way we've always done it, this is the way we operate, after all, there's some good that comes out of it, but we use it to empower us from doing what is a higher priority and what is right in God's eyes. I don't know all of your tendencies and natural tendencies. Some of you like routine and you like a plan and you don't like anything to work outside it. You have your way of thinking or traditions. Maybe in your daily schedule, you may not call them traditions, but certainly they are customary patterns of your life, the way we do things. I want you to know that true worship to God is about obeying His commands and being good to people. If your traditions or mine or our mindset, our way of thinking, gets in the way of us obeying the Lord fully, submitting to Him, transforming us inside. If it deviates from obeying His commands, then we need to think about our traditions and where we need to change or change them. The second thing is, if our way of life eliminates us or distracts us from being good to people, then we need to reevaluate the way we think about things in this life and the way we live. You know, it comes down to those two commandments, right? Jesus sums up the Ten Commandments, all the commandments in this. Love God, love people. And that's the way we're supposed to worship Him. there's some things in our life that, if we look deep enough, probably cause us to deviate a little bit from what is better and what is right in His sight. These kind of things went on all the time. We see them in Scripture. We look at, as it goes on, or you look to Matthew 12, you'll see that Jesus and His disciples are walking on a Sabbath, and they go through the field, and they begin to take the heads of grain and eat it because they were hungry. And they get criticized for it. They're trying to call Jesus on the carpet, and He says to them, "Listen, have you not heard that King David and his men, when they were weary from battle and traveling and moving, that they went into the temple and they ate the consecrated bread?" That was only for the priests and to be used for God. And Jesus says, "Hey, they were hungry. And God's judgment did not fall on them." You see, traditions can stop us from doing the greater obedience of God in our life and God's commands. And we can look at the written commands and we can say, "Hey, I'm doing pretty good." But what about in the moment where God prompts you, He speaks to you, He directs you, He says, "Do this"? What about that moment where He gives us a command to go or to do or to provide or to act in some way? What about in that moment where that's not what I normally do, or I'm uncomfortable with that, or it upsets our world, our regular routine of who we are and how we live? What about in that moment? Do we resort to, "Well, I've done all this already, that's enough"? Or, "I'm not hearing you," because we just don't want to maybe take the time, or we try to use Scripture against itself. Do you ever try to do that? You feel a direction to do something and you come up with another Scripture verse that you want to take out of context to use to combat what you just heard so that you feel justified to live how you are and to do what you want, and sometimes it's more convenient. You see, what about that moment? Sometimes it's just easier to yell than to sit down and talk and explain something to a child. What's better? You know, there's things in our life, if we really look at how we make decisions and live, that are pretty good. They sound pretty good. They look pretty good. But in some way, are we adhering to those things rather than the greater commandment? You know, we tend to elevate some of those things, and, you know, we can be pretty prideful and self-righteous and a little arrogant in those things. Let me just put it this way, if you can grasp this. For those who really like, "This is the way we've always done it. This is order. This is the way I like it. This is the way I was raised. This is the way I'm..." And not that all those things are bad, and that's not what we're suggesting. It's just that if they get in the way of pleasing the Lord and caring for people like we should, then we need to think about those things. See, Sue and I are old enough now, and our children we've raised and are old enough that we have traditions in our home. And it's not necessarily traditions where there are commands that God said, "You shall do this in your home." It's ways we've chosen to live and things and how we do things. Your home probably has them too. You know, it was interesting coming up to when our first child was going to leave home and get married. And, you know, we had four, so they've all followed suit. Well, over time, we've had traditions, but they're marrying someone who also has a family and traditions, and they aren't necessarily privy to our holiday schedule. So Sue and I had those conversations before they left. Our traditions cannot oppress our children. Our son married a fine Dolly daughter. Naomi, wherever she is right now, and I bumped into her out there, and she has Alita. I don't know where Naomi is. If she's in here, that's fine. She doesn't have to be. I'm not having her stand up or anything. But we plan our holiday. This is when we're having Christmas dinner. And Brock, you had, that's not, You know how oppressive that is to a son or a daughter? You got married. You let us know if you can make it. We cannot oppress you with our tradition and our demands. And so, Sue and I, our new tradition is we probably aren't going to have Christmas meal the same time this year as last year. We might have to adjust it because so-and-so can't make it at that time. And it's okay. The holiday will not fall apart. I know there's certain times that it would work better because you have to prepare this and do this. I get it. And Sue and I, we have come to agreement on this. We don't want to oppress our kids. This is a holiday. We're supposed to celebrate and honor the Lord and do this. This is supposed to be a good thing. And now we're oppressing one of our children and putting them between us and their extended family. That's not right. What good is that? It's tradition. I know you'd like to think it's a law, but it's not a law. The law is, be good to people. What thing in your life gets in the way? Does money get in the way of being good to God and good to people? Does the making of money get in the way of being good to people? Do you trust in Corbin? Do you trust in money? Or do you trust in the Lord? We all need money, right? It's a tool we use. But what do you trust in? You see, if your way of thinking about money or anything else in life gets in the way of doing what's right, or the higher commandment, or the obedience to God, then we need to revisit our mentality, the way we think, right? If you and I, if we feel like we have less, we don't have wealth, is our mentality about the resources we do have, the little we have, it can get in the way just the same as those who struggle with wealth. It does this, my mentality get in the way of me honoring the Lord and caring for people. Because there's more to life than just money. Right? Money's important. But it should never change or affect the way that we obey God or being good to people. And it's not just about money this morning. You can see where traditions, people argued about things. And Jesus goes over this. They talk about how Jesus, if you go on in Matthew 15, how Jesus offended the Pharisees. His disciples came to Jesus and says, you know, when you said this, you offended them. Everyone go, aw. Yeah. Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. Peter says, explain this to us. He said, aren't you understanding? Whatever goes into the mouth, he was talking about washing hands again before we eat. And he says, listen, what goes into your stomach is not what defiles you. It's what comes out of your heart. That's what defiles you. That's what defiles you and I, is what comes out of our heart, what comes out of our mouth, that reveals what's in us. He goes through a list of things that defile a person. You know, evil thoughts. Oh, let's just stop there. Evil thoughts. How do we justify that? Do we justify it because of somebody else's conduct? Do we justify it because we feel pretty righteous about us? See, those are the things that the Lord sees deep down in here. It doesn't matter how much Corbin you have. It doesn't matter what people see in these outward good things that seem to be right when behind it there's corruption that lives in our heart. There's an unruly part. There's a disobedience to his commands. These are the personal things for you and I in our private inward world that God knows and pays attention to. And so I want us to be clean. I want us to be pure. I want that the outward things that we do are not just for show, but they're actually coming out of a pure motive to love the Lord and to be good to people. Let that be what drives what we do and what we say, is what's in here. Not that these things mask what's going on. So, our mindset, which is really a tradition about how we live our life and what we do, if they get in the way of loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, then we need to change. And if our way of thinking about things prevent us and deter us from loving people the way we should as the living church of Christ, then maybe we need to change our mind and upset what our routine or tradition has been so that we don't oppress people, we don't hinder our worship to the Lord, and we're not a detriment to our own eternity. I'd like you to do this. I'd like you to bow your head right where you are. We're going to celebrate communion together. Communion together. And the scripture's clear, 1 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul passes on to us what was passed on to him about orderly worship and how to honor the Lord's body and reverence for him and the power of his blood to forgive sins, that covenant that Jesus made on that Passover. He says, before you eat the bread and before you drink of the cup, a person should judge themselves. I want you to judge you. I don't want you to justify your response to somebody else because they were wrong or mistreated you. You're not accountable for that. What you and I are accountable for is how we responded to that. We can't just point to, yeah, but they did this. No, no. How did I respond? This is the way I always respond. This is what I was taught. This is my way of thinking about things. If it gets in the way of your relationship with the Lord and hinders your relationship with people, we're responsible for that. So allow the Holy Spirit to walk with you through the condition of your heart in this moment. And things that are out of place are things he says, hey, what about this? Maybe it was an incident. Maybe it's a pattern of life. Maybe it's your attitude. Whatever it is, judge yourself. He says, if we judge ourselves, then we will not be judged later. Why is that? Because it's already taken care of. We've changed. We don't do that anymore. We want to obey the command to love God.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.